Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and today I'm absolutely delighted to have my friend, Edie Franklin, on Earth Wisdom Circles. Edie Franklin is an extraordinary woman who has her own life story that she has overcome, but she has looked to the needs and the care of other human beings that have been damaged by the actions of others, and began an organization called Sanctum House to help individual women who have been victims of human trafficking. And it was about a year and a half ago, I think, maybe, that we had our first interview where you spoke about it when you were starting Sanctum House, and now it is expanding. So please give us a little bit of background about yourself, just briefly, and then tell us what Sanctum House is all about and what it's doing in the community.
Okay, I'd be delighted. I'm delighted to be here first.
Thank you.
And
I'm
to be
glad
in this
to have
place.
You here.
Yeah, this is great. Well, Sanctum House was a vision, 7 years ago, and became a 501c3 in 2015, and got a following of people that, were following the mission of helping survivors of human trafficking get healing and help, because there were no long-term residential treatment facilities for these women. It was, 3 days here, 3 weeks here, jail, back into the streets, back to your abusive relationship or into jail. There really were not any places to heal. I mean, you don't heal from this kind of trauma in a short period of time.
No.
So we went on a mission to open up a 2-year program for adult women survivors of human trafficking. And now we're open. Oh, it's going to be 2 years in February.
That's
which
incredible.
Is like unbelievable.
I remember I met you just before you actually opened or found your first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just so moved by the compassion that you have, because, you see a challenge and you go after trying to find a solution to that challenge. But as a woman yourself, you understand what the difficulty and how easy that it is to become prey.
Well, I was always a woman at risk myself, and I was a drug addict, and I was an alcoholic. I'm 31 years in recovery, 33 going to be years in recovery, actually. But behind that, I was always vulnerable. I was vulnerable when I was in an addictive state, or the places where I put myself were always in danger. So I very much related to this population, because I knew in reality that I'm the same. I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be you, could be me, could be anyone.
That's right.
And everyone needs an opportunity to heal. And my belief, because I had been in a residential home, that, long-term care and peer support, really, along with your trauma care and addiction therapy and all the things that go along with it, and education, is really where the healing comes.
So am I correct in remembering that you actually got federal funding, or you got funding to create a program, but the problem was you didn't have a residence yet?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So we got funding, and then we went out, and we were slowly, different neighborhoods were saying, you can't come to our neighborhood because you're going to bring crime. I said, wait, we're getting away from crime. We don't want to, be in harm's way any longer.
Yes.
So the truth is we're the opposite of what you think is going to happen in your community. So we went through a couple of different iterations of where we were going to live and what we were going to do. And then, it's like the way it happens, the perfect home showed up.
Yes.
And we have, in this facility, we have room for 12 residents. We have 10 right now and are expanding. So we have the capacity on our campus, hopefully, to triple our capacity if we can buy all this property.
So just so people know, since this can be heard anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. This is in Michigan.
This is in Michigan.
And it's the first of its kind,
basically. Well, it was back then. Now there's a couple others, starting to open up, but there still is very little room for treatment and long-term care mm-hmm. in our state and across the country. I don't think there's any more beds than, 600-700 beds in the country. There's no more than probably 50 or 60 in the state of Michigan. And that's, haven't been to all of them yet,
And what is the number, Edie, of the estimate of women, just exclusively, because we know it also is children and men mm-hmm. and boys also. But since you're really focusing on the women. What is the number of women that are human traffic victims?
Well, you know what? We don't like to talk in numbers. I mean, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, you know, 30,000, mm-hmm. 30 million people. I mean, it's there's no statistic. There's no real true statistic. I mean, how do you count people when it's underground and yes. it's not visible and you arrest them on prostitution charges and then you realize that they're human traffic victims and then they don't prosecute because they're afraid to prosecute, so they go under the wire. So we really don't know an exact number.
But it is
an enormous, enormous number.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get them, the women either find us themselves or they come through the legal system. They come through. Now it's wonderful because we're starting to educate first responders and people that are going out there so they can identify. I mean, it was so, nobody even heard of it. I mean, people even today are shocked. What do you mean that this really happens
yes.
in the world?
Yes.
So,
and in our own backyard.
And for sure, in our own backyard. So identification is booming now. People mm-hmm. are saying, oh my God, that's what really happened to me. So when they come to us, we make sure that they get physical care because they've been on the streets or being abused, so they don't necessarily...
So their health has to be very diminished.
Health, eyes, teeth, all those kinds of things have to be addressed. And then, you know, we have psychological care, so we get them to a psychiatrist. They have therapy 3 times a week. We have nurses that come to the house. We have a medical director. We address... emotional, so they have a case manager and a program manager so that they're engaged and involved in the community. And mm-hmm. we have, you know, volunteer programs, not only volunteers that come to us, but we have them, they love to do volunteer work. I mean, they're so grateful that people are doing so much for them. We also think it's part of our culture that it's important that they learn how to give back to other people, the
right.
way people are giving to them.
Because certainly I would imagine that individuals that have been in this tragedy, this great human tragedy, they know other people that are also, so they have an instant understanding of identification because they had to live that way of, you know, being secreted or being afraid to speak. So they probably have a bird's eye view greater than anyone that isn't. As you said, you had to educate first responders. I know that I went to myself, although I'm not a nurse, I was invited to participate in an event for nurses
mm-hmm.
to learn
right.
how do you identify someone, you know, that is a human trafficking victim that otherwise might pass right through the medical system.
Well, when you think too, even dentists, mm-hmm. because this is their, it's awful, but it's their property. So a pimp or an abuser or someone that is their trafficker says, okay, how do I make her prettier? So if she doesn't have teeth or she needs help, they take her to a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And to get them, so dentists are often the first time somebody sees somebody. So we're training dental technicians and doctors and dentists
wow.
and stuff like that. So it's so insidious the way it filters in
mm-hmm.
and the way people see it. You know, and our women, after they're there a while and they learn the program and they start to learn to trust, and then they're able, we have some, you know, we have sponsorships from colleges and GEDs and that kind of thing. Their goal and our goal is for them to mentor, you know, the people that come behind them.
Yes.
So
yes.
that they can share their wisdom and their learning, and they can start to nurture the women that don't have a clue and say, and don't see any hope.
Yeah.
And I always like to say that we peddle love and hope
mm-hmm.
because that's, if you don't have hope that your life is ever going to change. I mean, you might as well just be out there and have them shooting up with dope and
right.
passing you
they
around.
They have to have some way to escape mm-hmm. what's happening in their mind.
Right.
So they probably then lean on drugs, or that's how they're kept imprisoned in a way.
Well, it's the truth. So many of the women come to us and they didn't have a word for human trafficking. If you said, do you have a pimp? They would understand that. Am I working for my husband? Am I doing this for my mother? Whatever. They don't realize that they're actually being sold as a piece of property. So they think they're doing it because, well, I chose to do this, mm-hmm. which is not really real. They might have chosen the first time, but then when they're kept addicted, because that's a way of control. It's about power and control.
Absolutely.
When they're being held, you know, food, Mm-hmm. So withdrawing food from them and not giving them, you know, keeping them, you know, in a cage potentially. But many are not locked physically. Most of them are not.
They're locked emotionally.
Emotionally. And it's a psychological bond.
It is.
And so who else is going to, you know, take care of me? You know, their self-esteem becomes lowered. They have no... There's nothing that's character building. Okay, mm-hmm. All they see themselves is an item, as a piece of property for somebody mm-hmm. else.
So tell us about. I know that you have this beautiful home that now. How many women do you have?
We have 10 women there, and we have room for a stack of applications. One of the things, you know, because we're new, that we've been open this length of time, but every day is a learning experience. They teach us.
Every person's story is different.
Exactly. So we're always learning, but we never wanted to like. Okay, we have all these beds. Let's bring everybody on all at one time.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, you bring two in, three in, see how it works, massage it, make it better. And so now we have 10 and we have applications that we're going through to fill it to 12. And then it's like you're full. But one of the things that we've learned, we're up to a 2-year program. I mean, if they had to stay longer, we would never put anyone out because our goal is to transition them into transitional housing. I mean, our goal is at Sanctum House, the possibilities are endless, and we kind of guarantee them this is what our goal is, is to have a sustainable and independent lifestyle.
Right.
So, but once we're full, so what we've come to realize that every woman's success is at a different level. So we've seen right now 38 women.
Wow.
So some have left. And some have left successfully. They maybe didn't graduate the program that was 2 years, but we have one that went out and decided she wanted to go back to school. That was one of her goals. And then she got accepted at Wayne State, and she's going there and living the collegiate life. So you know what I mean? So everybody has a different, that doesn't mean she's a failure. She's obviously a success. She's living on her own. She's going to school. She's still in therapy and all those kinds of things. Everyone that has made their way out, except for a couple, have called us and are still in contact with us.
Oh,
so
that's
we're
wonderful.
Creating a measurement system of sort is to see so that we can follow as to what's really happening with the women. And then we had one gal, that she went out and she called us and she said, you know what? I tried to go back. I don't fit there anymore.
Mm.
I can't go back to who I, now that you've taught me what you've taught me.
She sees her value.
She sees her value. I mean.
Isn't that beautiful? That's what we all need.
That's what we need is to see what our value is and to know our worth. And it's interesting because we're doing a luncheon in January and we're calling it Women of Worth.
Oh,
you
beautiful.
Know, and so but that's what we want is for them to see who they really are and be able to be, you know, I don't know that many of them had, you know, maybe as a little child, but if they were trafficked from a very young age, they didn't have a big plan for themselves.
Right.
So we hope that they will be able to see the plan that they never even knew, and it was never even in their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have a gal, just I'll throw this out. She came, college, school was never in her world. She was, you know, labor trafficked and sexually exploited. And now she's going to college. She's in her second semester, going to start her third. This was not anything that she ever thought was possible for her. So she's a whole new life.
You know, as you're saying that about college campuses, wouldn't it be amazing if you could have little satellites, at least of informational offices at various universities and colleges so that people can understand, yeah, this is here.
Right.
You know, because you just never know. You never know how it touches people. So again, my guest is Edie Franklin. She is the founder of Sanctum House in Michigan, a 2-year residential program that helps women who have been victims of human trafficking regain their lives. So now you're saying that you have the potential, and I should say this is not her full time job. Her full time job is she's a real estate agent, you know. So this how you find extra minutes in the day is amazing. But you always seem to, and you always have a beautiful smile on your face.
Thanks.
And so how is it? What do you need in order to expand? How can people help you?
Okay, so what we're doing right now is we know that even though, you know, some people come and some go, and you'll have a bed or you won't have a bed, but we're trying to expand so that we could really triple our capacity. We would have another home that would house an additional 16 women. And then we also want to purchase an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So that some women might want to transition out and then move away, but come back and mentor. But some might need a little more nurturing and stay closer for longer.
Sure.
So we have the opportunity to buy not only another home like the one that we're in, but also an apartment building with, you know, that'll house another 2, 4, 6, like 10, 12 women in transitional housing. And
beautiful.
They can start to rent and get a job and build them where we could help them exit out and back into the community.
So tell me what happens to women. And, you know, I would assume that some of these women have children.
Right.
And how do they reestablish their sense of community as a mother, as a nurturing human being to their children, so that their children are not prey to this kind of
that's one of the things that we also see, aside from dual addiction, which is, you know, trauma addiction and drug addiction together, so that we had to learn how to treat that. We don't take people with children if they're primary caregiver.
Okay.
So they have to find, their children need to be safe, and but our goal is for reunification with their children if that's what they want. And we're trauma informed, so we don't tell anybody this is what you need to do. If this is what they want to do, we do whatever we can. We have family day and outings and invite their family in so that they can have a full rounded experience. We have one woman that was reunited with all of her children.
Oh, how wonderful.
And talking to them. One moved out and went back and is now living with her family and her kids. One of the things that we do see is generational trafficking. So,
yes.
So we've had women from 18, you know, to 55 or 57 years of age.
Gosh.
So you can imagine, and they have families, and people think, you know, this is not like Taken or The Big Screen where they're grabbing people and snatching them out of malls and wherever. It's way more insidious than that. It's way more, you know, it's a brother, it's a girl at school, it's a boyfriend.
It's somebody who grooms them in a way
that says, you know, you could come be a model and they start out and everything's wonderful and you get presents and everything is delicious, okay? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, if you love me, this is what you'll do for me. Or it's not. Or it's just abusive. And they shoot you up with dope and say, here, this is what you're going to do tonight. Sorry, the party's over.
Yeah.
Lots of ways that the people's are stripped of their self-esteem and just human dignity.
Yes.
People are not property. I mean, plain and simple. And
they're
treated like that.
So, Edie, what is the best way for people to learn about Sanctum House, and how could they get in touch with you, and how might they be able to contribute in whatever way they can?
Okay, well, we have a website, which is sanctumhouse.org, sanctumhouse.org. So you can always go to our website and learn about us. We do a lot of awareness meetings and speaking engagements and stuff like that. So if you have a church or a women's group or a sorority or what have you, a business, a corporation, and we will come and talk to truckers. We'll talk to whoever we need to, doctors, and make aware so people know how to identify. It's like Delta. I'll give a plug for Delta, but they started to train their stewardess, you know, their flight attendants, I guess
yes,
they're called
yes.
today. That told
yeah.
you how old I am. Okay. But anyway, we want to train people so that it's more identifiable.
Mm.
We have a phone number, 248-574-9373. And, so mostly online. We have a Facebook page, so you can look us up on Facebook.
And do you work with the National Human Trafficking Organization, or I don't know if that's the correct number?
Well, there's Polaris. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. 888-373-7888. I like to break it up that way. It's easier to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call them, and we're actually a referral on their website.
Okay.
So if you see something, say something. Don't go jump out yourself and try and save someone. You know, better to call local police or the authorities rather than get yourself in trouble and or get the victim in trouble. Because if they think they're talking to you to escape, they will usually suffer for it
later.
And
it was about a year ago I had the wonderful opportunity to host a film about human trafficking, and you are one of our gracious speakers. And so what was so telling to me and so I was amazed that when the police officers came, they learned so much because, you know, again, they have this criminal mindset, but of course they want to help people. They're not there to just be the bad guys and, right. you know, bust up what's happening and throw somebody in jail. They see trauma every day. So I'm sure that this is really very impactful that you're able to help first responders.
Well, we have, you know, in our small community, you know, we have talked to the emergency room team and the fire department that comes out and the police, and because they have to learn how to speak with the victims, because if they go out and just think of them as a piece of trash or think of them as a prostitute or this, they're not going to respond.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we have to also see that this is a crime. They're not the criminal. Okay. They are the victim, and it's a question of how they're being treated. So we have women that want to go. Our women survivors that want to go out and talk to the police and have roundtables and say, "This is what you need to know about
that's coming and talking
to us." So it's so essential,
especially coming from somebody who actually lived it.
The healing that can take place. I mean, you know, wisdom circle. Let me give you what I know from this side. You give me what you know from that side,
yes.
And then we can become friends.
Because what is so important is that we understand our own mutual humanity,
mm-hmm.
and it is that when someone is willing to do something to another human being like this, they too have been damaged in some way that their thinking is so distorted, and that they're so willing to be a participant in this kind of horror, literally horror.
Well, there are lots of new films that are coming out,
mm-hmm.
and when you see them, it's like, oh my God! I mean, I can't believe other people treat other people like that. So you can actually, you know, at first everybody was doing things very mildly, but now, you know, it kind of couching it because it was too much for people to take in. The
mm-hmm.
the ugliness of it is so horrific that people couldn't. Take it in. I know when we were doing planning committee meetings, I started with little snippets showing people what trafficking was and slowly started to let them see what it really looks like so
mm-hmm.
that you could digest it slowly. And I think that's what's happening in the world right now. We're getting spoon-fed trafficking, but now we need to spoon-feed healing and care
yes.
and love and effectiveness, because they mm-hmm. don't just need love.
They need to understand what is love.
Right.
And love is not something that is possessive. Love is something that is a give and take of true respect.
And trust. I mean, one mm-hmm. of the main things that our women need to learn initially is to come in and trust that what we're doing is, number one, sincere.
Yes.
And number two, going to be consistent. And number three, that it's not, I mean, most of them have never had experiences that weren't in exchange. You do this and I'll feed you if you do this. I'll give you money if you do this.
I'll love you if.
I won't just love you because.
Yes.
And so we try and teach them that we love them because of who they are and
so,
give them an opportunity to become.
People can go to sanctumhouse.org.
Correct.
We only have a few minutes left, so I want to make sure that people know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that you mentioned that there's a women's a luncheon
in January. January 22nd.
So you're hoping to have sponsorships for tables
and it's a donations.
It's not that men can't come, but it is specifically for women to be safe speaking to one another. And then, of course, there's always going to be times that, you know, we need men to be willing to say, this is not acceptable. This is absolutely not acceptable. We have to protect women and we have to protect children. And, you know, wonderful men like Remy, who's such an incredible dad and, you know, is so respectful of women. You know, you never know what circumstances men are in, and they hear about something, that somebody being a braggart about something mm-hmm. and say, you know, not only is that not okay, but, you know, we need to let people know what you're talking about.
And we need to be able to get into the schools earlier.
Yes.
Earlier and start training. When you said little classes or groups.
I have a friend I want to introduce you to.
Yes, we need to get into the schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, back to what you're seeking now.
We're seeking anybody that wants to learn more, we will go and talk and do. Anybody wants to support us in helping us purchase the property that we need to expand and donate and support, we would love it.
You know, I'm just wondering, have you ever thought of, this just came to my mind, speaking about people that are doing estate planning, maybe mm-hmm. that have land or homes that they could donate.
Right, or stock.
Or stock or something like that, you know, that they can use that snow is going to have in perpetuity helping people.
Correct.
You know, we have to change the way we as human beings have devolved so that we can evolve.
Mm, I love that.
Truly into being who we're meant to be.
I love that.
You know, as giving, living participants of life itself.
And as we say at Sanctum House, the possibilities are endless.
They certainly are. They certainly are. So I really want to thank you, Edie, for what you do for humanity and for being the woman you are. And my friend Edie Franklin of Sanctum House, sanctumhouse.org.
Correct.
Please take a look and help when you can, because you never know who you're walking by might be a victim and you don't realize it. Every human needs to be loved. Every human needs to be respected and deserves it. Thank you. This is Elaine Grohman for Empower Radio, Earth Wisdom Circles. You can make a difference every day. Do it.